before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst.
Hello and welcome to this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And as always, thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. We've got a lot of good interviews for you this month and some interesting news items, so let's get right to it. We'll get started with beer news. On August 26th, the Alaska Alcohol Beverage Control Board proposed a regulation change that would outlaw art shows, fundraisers, and other events from happening at breweries and distilleries. State statute currently outlaws manufacturing licensees such as Kenai River Brewing Company, Cassox Brewery, or Homer Brewing Company from allowing on-site live entertainment, TVs, pool tables, darts, dancing, video games, game table, or, quote, other recreational or gaming opportunities. The proposed change announced by the board would define that last phrase as specifically being festivals, games and competitions, classes, public parties, presentations or performances, and other social gatherings advertised to the general public. The proposed change, which is open to public comment through 4:30 p.m. on October 4th, came to be, quote, better reflect the legislative intent that these licenses are manufacturers, not retailers, end quote, according to a memorandum from Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office Director Erica McConnell. A draft of the regulation was discussed at a June 2018 board meeting, and the change being considered now is a revised proposal. Longtime listeners to this program will not be surprised by any of this, as it reflects the continuing efforts by Director McConnell to hamstring Alaska's breweries at the behest of Alaskan bar owners, who see craft breweries and distilleries as competitors. You may recall that she spearheaded the board's 2017 ruling that distillers could not legally serve cocktails. That one took the passage of a law by the legislature to reverse. If, like me, you think this proposed change is misguided in the extreme, you can tell the board so via an email to amco.regs, that's amco.regs, at alaska.gov. As I said earlier, the deadline is 4:30 p.m. on October 4th. Another new brewery has opened for business in Alaska. Beers from Lazy Mountain Brewing in Palmer went on sale on July 31st. We'll have an interview with them later in the show. The 7th Annual Beer and Bacon Festival was held on July 27th at the Lakefront Hotel in Anchorage. This year's festival raised $22,500 for Covenant House, Alaska. Turnagain Brewing's Rue Fram Brew was selected as this year's favorite beer, and a dish from Glacier Brewhouse was selected as this year's favorite bacon bite. A new mead producer has opened for business in Alaska. Two Seasons Meadery opened yesterday in Anchorage. It's located at 801 East 82nd Avenue. Skagway Brewing Company reports that its restaurant in its new location is now completely self-sufficient in mixed greens thanks to a new aeroponic growing system. Additionally, the brewery is now selling its beer in crowlers. On Sunday, August 11th, the second annual Brewery to Bathroom 0.5K, The Race for the Rest of Us, was held in Soldotna. Over 100 entrants participated in this fundraiser for the American Cancer Society, starting and ending at Kenai River Brewing Company. over $5,700 was raised. Kenai River Brewing has also the first beer in a new four-beer series celebrating the seasons of the Salteshi Trails. This beer is called Moose Gallop Ale and features a label by local artist Caitlin Vodla. It's worth noting that events such as these would be outlawed under the ABC Board's new proposed regulations. The 8th annual Capital Brewfest will be held on September 21st in Juneau. This event is a fundraiser for both the Juneau Rotary and the University of Alaska Southeast. The Talkeetna Brewfest is also scheduled for September 21st, with tickets available online. There will also be a beer dinner at the Denali Brew Pub the evening prior to the fest, with tickets available by calling the Brew Pub. The 2019 Eagle River Brewfest will take place on October 4th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Eagle River's Lions Club. Besides the beers on offer, there will also be hot appetizers, including prime rib. Bleeding Heart Brewery in Palmer has announced that in 2020 it will be relocating and begin sharing premises with Alaska Picker at 562 South Denali Street in the heart of Palmer. The brewery will cease operating at its current farmhouse location on 31 December and then reopen after a couple of months' hiatus. Alaska Picker will still remain open, while Bleeding Heart will be completely partitioning off the back one-third of the space and retrofitting a brewery inside. The new brew house will be larger and should allow for increased production from Bleeding Heart. Hawaii and Utah beer drinkers can now enjoy brews from the Last Frontier as Juneau-based brewery Alaskan Brewing begins distribution in the two states. The addition of the Aloha and Beehive states marks the 24th and 25th state where Alaskan beer is distributed. Quote, "We think Hawaiians and Utahns will connect with our beers, our story, and our commitment to sustainability," said Alaskan Brewing Company Communications Manager Andy Klein. "These are very unique states, but Alaskans, Hawaiians, and Utahns actually have a lot in common. Many of us have an adventurous spirit and love for the outdoors, and we share a special connection to and deep respect for the spectacular places we call home," end quote. Utah and Hawaii are the last two states of the western U.S. to carry Alaskan beers. Hawaiians and Utahns will be able to enjoy Amber, White, Husky IPA, and Kolsch, among other Alaskan beer styles. Growth for small and independent craft brewers remained steady for the first half of 2019, according to new mid-year metrics released by the Brewers Association, the not-for-profit trade association dedicated to small and independent American brewers. Production volume for the craft segment increased 4% during the first half of 2019. Quote, "Growth continues to follow a similar pattern we have seen in the past few years, with steady rates in the low to mid single digits," said Bart Watson, chief economist of the Brewers Association. "The majority of growth continues to come from microbreweries, tap rooms, and brew pubs, where the distribution landscape remains more challenging for the regional craft brewers," end quote. As of June 30th, there were 7,480 active craft breweries, up from 6,464 during a comparable time frame last year. An estimated 2,500 to 3,000 breweries are in planning based on active alcohol and tobacco tax and trade bureau licenses. Quote, "Overall, demand for beers from small and independent brewers continues to increase, but at levels that make it difficult for all breweries to grow simultaneously," added Watson. "This is a sign of a maturing market that will likely continue in the coming years," end quote. The 9th annual Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival was another great success. There will be more about the festival later in the show when I interview organizer Matt Pahala of the Soldotna Rotary. On August 23rd, Anheuser-Busch InBev declined to exercise its option to buy the Craft Brew Alliance, the brewers of Kona, Red Hook, Widmer, and several other well-known brands. As a price for opting out, AB InBev must pay $20 million to the Portland-based brewing consortium and to continue providing it with the global brewing giant's network of production facilities and distribution networks. Exercising its option would have required AB InBev to pay $25 per share, a total of $500 million, while CBA stock is currently trading for less than $12 per share. AB InBev's leverage, its debt-to-cash ratio, spiked after the $108 billion SAB Miller deal closed in late 2016. By the end of that year, the company's net debt rose to about 5.5 times its earnings. That's more than double the company's pre-deal leverage, which likely explains its reluctance to shell out another $500 million for the Craft Brew Alliance. That's it for this month's news. We'll be right back with our next segment. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
There's still time to support your favorite nonprofit organizations through the Pick, Click, Give program. Do you value public radio? You can donate a portion of your permanent fund dividend to KDLL through August 31st. Go to pfd.alaska.gov to add a pledge today.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And today we're lucky to have the chief brewer from Glacier Brewhouse. Drew, do you want to introduce yourself?
Thanks for having me on. I'm Drew Weber, head brewer at the Glacier Brewhouse. It's good to be here.
Good to have you. Glacier's been around a long while, so most of our listeners are probably fairly familiar. But for those out there who aren't, do you want to describe your brewing operation?
Yeah, Glacier Brewhouse was started in 1996 with the idea of having good food and good beer available for Alaskans. And we've been brewing ever since then. We brew about 4,000 barrels, 4,200 barrels a year, depending on the year. And about 50% of that beer is sold here in the restaurant. The other 50% is distributed across the state. We also distribute in Washington State, and we just kind of broke into Oregon as well. I've been at the Glacier Brewhouse for the past 17 years, been brewing in here for the past 16 years, and took over as the head brewer 2 years ago. It's been a fun ride.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Obviously, you've been there for a long time. How did you come to become a commercial brewer?
To tell you the truth, what happened is while I was going to school at UAA, I took a job here as a busser. And it was a great time during the summer, but wintertime, sales kind of went down and tipping wasn't as good as it used to be. So keg washing position opened up and was 5 days a week, gave me my weekends off, and got pretty excited and jumped in on keg washing. And after just a few months of doing it, realized this is something I had a passion for. So I went ahead and did brewing school through Siebel Institute and worked my way up. I've been here ever since.
Sounds great. So it's real on-the-job training kind of deal for you.
Yeah.
Before you started there, had you done any kind of like homebrewing or anything that? Or?
Yeah, there was a few times a homebrew class. I did some homebrewing with some friends back in college. And then once I did get into the brewery, I went ahead and I think the day after I got hired, went out and bought myself a brew kit and started really working at it and doing it myself at home.
So what do you like most about being a brewer and what do you like the least?
Being a brewer, I mean, it's everybody's dream job if you talk to most adults, and it's a lot of fun. It's fun to have that creativity of designing a beer, and it's a lot of fun to design a beer, then hear good compliments and see the beer sell fast is always something that's a good indication that you actually did something that people like. There's a lot of love about this job. As far as not liking a job, I don't think there's a whole lot I don't enjoy. I do live in Palmer and commute to Anchorage, so I think the commute would be the only part of the job I don't like.
So of your beers that you brew, do you have a favorite?
They usually tell people the one in my hand. I love all beers. I mean, the great thing about beer is every kind of style there is out there has a unique purpose. Depends on weather, depends on what you're eating, what you're doing. You know, you're not going to drink a big high-alcohol dark beer on a hot, sunny day, so beer, I can't say I have one in particular I enjoy the most.
One of the things Glacier is extremely well known for is its wall of wood. So do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about your barrel aging program?
Yes, we age our beers anywhere from 6 months up to 4 years in oak barrels. And we get our oak barrels from all around the world. We've had Ukrainian and Russian oak barrels, French wine barrels, and virgin oak barrels. The biggest portion are usually whiskey barrels. We'll take the beer, we'll put it in there, and age it. And before we pull it out, carbonate it, and put it on tap. It's been a fun program. It really can show you a very diversity of beers and what they can do with some age. Yeah, during the 12 Days of Barley Wine, which will be coming up here in December, we have oak beers that were aged up to 4 years in oak, but then could have been aged up to 13 years in steel after that. So every year we taste those beers, and it's kind of how we decide what we're going to send off to competitions, and it's a lot of fun. By the end of the 12 days, your liver hates you pretty well, but you're usually pretty happy.
That's definitely a tremendous event for anybody that is in Anchorage or can be in Anchorage in December. They really should swing by and check that out.
Definitely.
Are you going to be releasing any new beers in the upcoming couple of months or anything? Anything people should keep their eyes out for?
Today, actually, we just designed and came up with a new a juicy IPA, aiming kind of for the New England style juicy IPA.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
Yeah. That's our first attempt at it, so we thought we'd give it a try. You know, we have a little pilot brew system, and so every couple of weeks we're designing a new beer and bringing something out. The next pilot brew batch we have is actually a apple rhubarb beer, and looking forward to seeing how that one turns out.
Do you have a name for that New England IPA so people know to look for it?
Well, most likely, you know, the way we name beers here, we usually just call them by their style.
Okay.
We don't typically come up with crazy names. So we'll probably just call it a juicy IPA, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Cool. If you could say one thing to everyone who walks through the front door of your brewery, what would it be?
You know, welcome. Welcome to the Glacier Brewhouse. It's we have a lot of fun doing what we do, and hope you enjoy the beers we do produce and enjoy the restaurant and the atmosphere.
Have you got any kind of an overriding beer philosophy? You know, some folks out there, they really like to hew to the traditional styles. Other people like to be really experimental. You know, some people really love Belgians. Other people really want to go with German. What's behind your brewing?
The biggest thing for me is cleanliness. You know, to me, if you're running a clean brewery, you're going to have clean beers. I hate to put myself in a box and say I'm only going to make a certain style or old world or new world style, or say I'm going to be out there making crazy stuff. I don't want to put a limit on what kind of beers myself and my crew can make. So the biggest thing for us is cleanliness.
So where do you see yourself and Glacier in, you know, 5 years? You got any big plans coming up? Any major changes that you see happening?
I wouldn't say any major changes. I mean, the big thing, you know, we have Matanuska Brewing Company has been doing the cans for us. And so we're looking at growing our sales across state lines. So, you know, we do have our draft beer down in Washington State and Oregon now. We just broke in there and just kind of want to keep growing, making more beer.
Have you guys started distributing your can stuff outside of Alaska yet?
We're working on that. I mean, that's always okay. Crossing the state line is always a bit of a,
right,
a workout trying to get all the paperwork done. So it's something we're working on doing, but that is the ultimate goal.
Cool. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners, Drew?
Well, if you guys come on into the brew house at any time, please stop on in, say hi. And we are always open for doing brewery tours. If one of the brewers can't do it, ask one of the managers. They're all trained on that as well. Take a look at our facility. We're not the biggest brewery in the world, but we do produce a lot of beer.
Hey, Drew, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. We really appreciate it. Good luck, and look forward to tasting that juicy IPA.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully we'll see you guys here soon.
All righty. We'll be right back with our next segment here on Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
Every year is a good year for jazz. Whether it's the Duke or Ella or someone newer to the scene, you'll find all your jazz favorites on A Good Year for Jazz with your host, Nathan. Each week, travel the calendar back to 1945, 59, or even 2015 to hear what was happening in the world of jazz. I'll meet you right here Monday nights 7 to 9 on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. Next up, we'll be talking about the health benefits of beer. I just had my annual physical. One of the questions I get asked every year is about my consumption of alcohol. As I answer the question, I always wonder if my provider is aware of the health benefits of the moderate consumption of alcohol, especially in the form of beer. Evidence continues to accumulate to support the proposition that the moderate consumption of alcohol, which is defined as two drinks per day for the average male and one drink per day for the average female, results in better overall health than that experienced either by teetotalers or heavier drinkers. For one drink, a 12-ounce beer, a glass of wine, or 2 ounces of spirits. So let's go over some of these benefits. Beer benefit number one, protect your heart. Wine usually gets all the credit as the alcoholic beverage that helps cut back your cardiovascular disease risk, but it appears that beer is just as heart healthy. Italian researchers found that moderate beer drinkers had a 42% lower risk of heart disease compared to non-drinkers. Beer contains vitamin B6, which protects against heart disease by preventing the buildup of a compound called homocysteine. It has a thinning effect on the blood and prevents the formation of clots, which cause blocks in the coronary arteries. Moderate consumption also reduces the risk of inflammation, the root cause of atherosclerosis, which is cholesterol and plaque building up on the blood vessel and artery walls. Beer consumption also boosts the level of good cholesterol by 10 to 20%, thus reducing the risk of dementia and cardiovascular diseases. Beer benefit number two, prevent type 2 diabetes. Dutch researchers analyzed 38,000 male health professionals and found that when men who aren't heavy drinkers begin drinking moderately over 4 years, they were significantly less likely to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Increased alcohol consumption over time didn't lower the risk in men who already had a couple of drinks a day. So again, moderation is the key word here. Beer benefit number three, be kind to your kidneys. Cheers to never having to pass a kidney stone. Researchers in Finland found that each bottle of beer a man drinks daily lowers his risk of developing kidney stones by 40%. The researchers couldn't exactly explain the link, but speculated that a high fluid intake not only makes for an increased number of trips to the bathroom, but also keeps kidneys functioning properly. Additionally, the researchers said that the hops in beer may be responsible for the correlation, helping to slow the release of calcium from bone, calcium which could then be resorbed by the kidneys and deposited as painful stones. Beer benefit number four, lower your blood pressure. High blood pressure can be responsible for a range of health problems, but beer can lower your risk for hypertension, research suggests. In one study, Harvard researchers found that moderate beer drinkers are less likely to develop high blood pressure than those who sip wine or cocktails. Beer benefit number five, prevent a fracture. A couple of beers a day could actually strengthen your bones, according to a study at Tufts University. Men who stuck to one or two brews had up to 4.5% greater bone density than non-drinkers. But more than two beers was associated with an up to 5.2% lower density, according to the study. Beer benefit number six, packed with nutrition. Beer is an excellent source of many nutrients. One 12-ounce beer has around 1 gram of fiber. It's also packed with B vitamins like niacin, pantothenic acid, folate, riboflavin, and vitamins B6 and B12. It's also rich in silicon, a nutrient that helps strengthen bones and is found in few other foods. Beer is a good source of vitamin B12 and folic acid, a deficiency of which may lead to anemia. Vitamin B12 is also essential for maintaining normal growth, good memory, and concentration. In fact, some anthropologists postulate that the better nutrition was one reason brewing became so prevalent in primitive human cultures. Beer drinkers were simply healthier and more likely to survive than non-drinkers. Beer benefit number seven, cleansing the gastrointestinal tract. Beer, especially dark beer, is a good source of soluble fibers that promote general health. This includes being good for the heart as well as helping to clean out our digestive tracts. Beer benefit number eight, hops against cancer. Researchers at the German Cancer Research Center in Heidelberg have discovered that beer contains a powerful molecule that helps protect against breast and prostate cancers. Found in hops, the substance called xanthohumol blocks the excessive action of testosterone and estrogen. It also helps to prevent the release of a protein called PSA, which encourages the spread of prostate cancer. Scientists have long known that substances in hops help to block estrogen. This is the first time, however, that they have also been found to inhibit testosterone. Research is still in the early trials, but we hope to further demonstrate that xanthohumanol activity prevents prostate cancer development, says Clarissa Gerhauser of the Heidelberg Center. If successful, xanthohumol may one day be developed as a cancer-fighting drug. In the meantime, it's just one more reason to enjoy that super hoppy IPA. Research into the health benefits of alcoholic beverages in general, and beer in particular, will continue, but one thing appears clear. For the average person, the moderate consumption of beer is good for their overall health. I'll drink to that. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.